Welcome back to the Rural Roundup, hosted by me, Kerry Hammond. This show is produced in association with the Scottish Government. On today's episode, George Chalmers and Tiffany Stevenson discuss in detail all the things we need to focus on for spring, including the Single Application Form, or IACS, the Agri-Environment Scheme, or EECS, and advice pertinent to calving, lambing, cropping and grass for spring.
Hi there, Tiffany. We're just ourselves today with no Robert. He is busy selling his cattle. So what have you been up to just now?
I feel like it's going to be very quiet today without Robert here, but it has been a very, very busy month. I don't know what happened to February. It just seemed to fly by. There were so many meetings going on during February. And I was at the end of February, I was at the Women in Agriculture Conference up at Murrayfield. Mm-hmm. And that was a fantastic event. There was so many inspiring speakers who did an excellent job sharing their points of view. And the women in the room were fantastic as well. So many ideas, lots to like about it. So hopefully it's going to be an event that can continue going forward as well.
So was there any speakers that really stood out for you, Tiffany?
So one of the speakers I really enjoyed was Nikki Yoxall. She was talking about holistic management and how they've got a vision for their farm, they've got a vision for their business. So then each year they actually take a step back and going, are they still working towards what they're wanting to achieve, what they're wanting to be good at as well? And it was just a different way of looking at a business, which I really enjoyed. The other one that always stands out for me is Stephen Thompson, but I've been very lucky to have him on the podcast with us, but he's always fantastic to listen to as well.
Good, good, good. We've now entered into March. The Ides of March, or for us in particular, we're IACS isn't far away. Something that affects most farmers in Scotland. And it's it's very important that these forms are completed accurately and, of course, by the deadline. Are you aware of any changes this year?
There doesn't seem to be any major changes this year. I think it's business as usual, sticking to what we know. I think one of the things people do need to think about is making sure they've transferred any entitlements that they're needing to get transferred before IACS time, get that done sooner rather than later.
Yeah, of course, the deadline for that is the 2nd of April. So that's very important that's done on time.
It always comes around very quickly, that deadline, I feel. The other thing is making sure your maps are up to date. I always think if you get them up to date before you even start looking at your form, it makes it much easier and you've not suddenly got any changes halfway through. I know there's been a big mapping exercise done this year, so a lot of people will find changes and tweaks to their fields because they have gone and remapped quite a large proportion of Scotland.
Yeah, I've seen a few anyway, and to be fair, most of the changes are fairly small and it's alterations to eligible areas, slight tweaks here and there, but there is the odd occasion that it's fields have been merged or split and such like, so there is a bit of thinking to be done in that situation.
I think the other thing to think about as well is your EFA maps. If you've got ecological focus areas, make sure you know what you're doing. Just now, people are beginning to get back in with the plough because the ground's starting to dry up again. And it's a time now to make sure you've got all your EFA areas so you know if you need to go and leave a margin, or you've got a crop which has gone through the winter poorly. Maybe you've got an area you want to put into wild bird seed. But it's better to think about it now than thinking about it on the 10th of May.
I think that's an important point as well, because there are parts of Scotland that I've had, they've really suffered this autumn and winter. And there's going to be bits inevitably that they've either been underwater or there's just been a lot of damage. Maybe this is the year to actually think about putting in something like a wild bird seed mix or something like that in your fallow to kind of get some roots going and help that bit of land recover. And then it's ready, hopefully, to be a bit more productive in the autumn or even the following spring.
It's definitely been a very challenging winter, I feel, down here in the borders. We've kind of been on the easy side of it compared to what I've heard about elsewhere in the country. I feel like borders has managed to get through quite well. The grass and the crops are all looking well still.
Yeah, I know. I have a colleague from Angus, and he sort of refers to the fact that they've very much been in the eye of the storm this winter. And even up here in the northeast, we've had heavy rain, and even at the weekend, I think it was 31 millimetres or something like that, and it just puts everything back again. But the winter crops have kind of come through the winter not too bad. And ploughing and that is being caught up with. People are just waiting for that dry spell to get going.
Yeah, we have seen a few people trying to drill recently down here, but I'm slightly wondering, I think it's people who are trying to put in winter wheat slightly late, and it's them that are getting in. I don't think anyone's dared venture out with any spring barley yet.
No, I think patience is going to be the key this year. We just seem to be getting extremes during our winters and that just now, which is not helping.
So just thinking back to the single application form or IAX, just make sure you're done before your deadline on the 15th of May. I know that it's falling around lambing and calving as well as drilling time, which always makes it very challenging for everybody.
Absolutely. And this time of year as well, for a lot of farmers, they will be considering Agri-Environment Climate Scheme applications, or EECS, perhaps as it's better known. Deadlines for it, there's several deadlines for it. It depends on the scheme selected. Are you seeing much inquiries this year?
So we do have a few people interested. I think people are just trying to make the decision if it's something they really want to be doing, because we don't know what's happening going forward. What new schemes could potentially be coming down the line in a few years' time, or what the requirements of Tier 1 and Tier 2 are going to be from 2025 onwards. So I think people are looking at it, and it's people who are generally keen to maintain something they're already doing, or if they've got a scheme that they're really wanting to get into to go and benefit a particular animal, or has got an excellent benefit to their farms. Those are the people who are really keen on looking at it. We do have a few people wanting to do their organic conversion and maintenance. And there's a couple of people who are looking at the irrigation lagoons as well. So there is people looking at it from all sides. And I think when it's looking at all sides, it's definitely going to be making sure we get the right deadlines for the right people will be the important bit. Because for the slurry stores and the irrigation lagoons, the deadline's the 19th of April. So that's only just around the corner, really.
It's not far away, because those applications, there is a fair bit of work required for them. Certainly, EECS as a whole, but certainly there's a lot of plans and that to be done for them.
I think as well, for those ones, it's making sure you've got planning on board as well with it, because you will need planning permission for doing them if you are putting in an irrigation lagoon. So it is making sure you've crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's when you're putting in your application. I do find it a bit funny thinking about irrigation lagoons at the moment when we've had so much water all winter, but no doubt it's going to dry up at some point and get
too
dry.
Feels a bit ironic at the moment, yeah. organic, there's still organic conversion and maintenance grants. Bigger window there, working to the 31st of July. And then the more standard agri-environment schemes, 10th of June is a deadline for them.
I think it is worth being aware, if you're wanting to do organic conversion or maintenance as well as an agri-environment scheme, the deadline's then the 10th of June. So the extended deadline for organics is only if you're not applying for agri-environment as well.
Yeah.
There have been a few changes to the agri-environment scheme from last year. This has included changes to creation of hedgerows as well as pond creation. So it is a good idea, if you are interested, to make sure you go and look at the full guidance. And if you do enjoy listening to podcasts, go and have a listen to the Natural Capital podcast, which the Farm Advisory Service produces. They've done an excellent episode with Dr. Paul Chapman and Alex Perry talking about everything to do with EECs. So include how to apply and the opportunities it can present to businesses to help restore and enhance natural capital assets. So it's definitely worth a listen.
IAC's time, we are very busy, there's no doubt about that, and we'll be busy weeks, there's no doubt about that either. For our clients, they are busy lambing, calving, sowing. So it seems the appropriate time just to go through, just give people an update and if there's anything they maybe need to be thinking about.
There's definitely lots to be thinking about at this time of year. We've already mentioned a little bit on the arable side. Shall we talk a bit more about that first and then we can start thinking about the livestock side?
I think so. Yeah. I think we're starting to see people try and get going with top dressing. There's maybe sprays to be caught up on. So ground conditions are always something to be very mindful of. Even things like making sure that your fertilizer spreader is calibrated. Fertilizer, it might be cheaper this year than it's been for some time, but that doesn't mean to say that you can just splash it all over willy-nilly. Making sure your spreader is calibrated and everything's working as it should, so you're getting that good even spread is really important. It affects crop quality, affects yield, and the other side of it, if it's really bad, your neighbours are going to see all the different coloured strips in your fields. So you don't want that.
That's definitely a good bit of advice to look at your fertiliser spreader. I've definitely had a few people asking this year about what they should go and do with a field because there's not been such good establishment in some fields and some it could just be one field on the farm. They found very poor establishment. And they're worried that there's not going to be the yields there. But I think the difficulty if they went to take out the crop would be you've got to pay basically for two crop establishments and be able to have enough yield to go and make it justifiable. So it's thinking about what you're going to do with that field. Are you able to roll the field to help with tillering? What about putting on an early application of nitrogen to also help the tillers? So everything you could do to help the tillers might be better doing that rather than taking out a field and putting something else in.
Yeah, that can be. You sometimes have to watch that and how you re-establish a crop as well in case there's any issues with any of the autumn fertilisers. Any of the autumn herbicides. The other thing is people in that situation, they need to be realistic. If a crop is thin, and certainly with likes of winter barley, giving it the full dose of inputs, you're not going to magically have a full crop at the end of the day. So you've got to be realistic and tailor the inputs accordingly. That's a key message. We've been in these situations before. Every area has it. Now and again, every area gets its turn, unfortunately, and you just have to adapt to fit, really.
Yeah, being adjustable is very helpful. But if you are wondering more about what fertilisers to be putting on this in the spring, Cropcast also did an excellent episode on nitrogen and P and K, which you're going to be putting on, and what kind of fertilisers you should be looking at for a spring application, especially after the winter that we've had. So it's definitely worth listening to that one as well.
Yeah, so something to be mindful of as well. We've seen grain prices essentially drop £25-30 in the last few months. Certainly the futures price has. A lot of malt and barley contracts are based on this. A lot of people will be putting in a spring barley crop and looking to get that malting premium. If you don't get it for whatever reason, your quality is not up to scratch, and you end up growing feed barley, and there's a lot of feed barley slushing about, the economics of that might not just be too clever. So that is something as well to bear in mind, that getting that quality is key this year. to give yourself the best chance of marketing.
This is where we feel like we need the crystal ball to actually know what the weather's going to do to help us or hinder us.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know a lot of people are starting to lamb or thinking about lambing and getting prepared as well. So it's definitely going to be a busy season with lambing, and hopefully the weather's good to everybody for it. But it's definitely worth thinking about the nutrition of the ewes at this time of year to make sure you're giving the lambs the best possible start and the ewes the best chance of helping them and having good quality colostrum as well.
Definitely. Definitely. And this time of year, it's such a critical time, really. Making sure you get those numbers to start with the sheep, at the end of the day, as much lambs you can get on the ground. And it comes back to this colostrum, getting them up and running, getting them outside again and getting them thriving. It gives yourself the best chance.
So also give yourself the best chance of getting your shed ready early. Because sometimes you end up with the early lambs and you realise you've not disinfected anything, you've not got your pens built. So it's making sure you've got that, and make sure you've got the colostrum and lamb's milk bought already, and that'll just make it a little bit easier should you get some early lambs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. We heard earlier that Robert was going on selling cattle. Certainly up here, we'll see a lot of people buying in cattle, and I dare say maybe down in your neck of the woods as well. And it's always good to see cattle getting put out onto the grass, although maybe less people doing it nowadays. And there's a lot of things to be mindful of as well there in terms of worming and dozing and such like. So have you any advice there for producers?
I think it's definitely been noticeable this year. There's been a lot of stores sold earlier than usual, and there's been a lot sold in January time, which does seem earlier than what we'd expect. Usually it's once the fields are ready to go out in. But yeah, good advice, making sure you're worming. Make sure you're thinking about how you're going to keep them away from the rest of the cattle as well, just to quarantine them for a bit as well, especially if they've gone through a mart, because you never know what they have picked up along the way. I think as well, if you've got suckler cows, it's thinking about their nutrition as well and making sure they've got getting all the minerals that they're needing. It's very important there, thinking about the management after calving as well as just before calving, because that's when there's a big demand on the cows. Although the land's really wet at the moment, I have been noticing the grass is starting to come through. So hopefully when cows and sheep are ready to go out after lambing and calving, there'll be plenty of grass there, is my hope.
It's just winter. How has the grass swards and that coped? Getting the grass up and going is really important. We've seen a really, really tough winter, really wet winter. Anybody who's maybe been grazing sheep or maybe keeping the cattle out late, there's a good chance there's been a bit more damage done there than normal. It could be worth going out and having a look and seeing if there is any compaction, because, you know, grass is a crop, just like a cereal or a vegetable crop. Compaction can have a big influence there. Going around and just even having a dig or just seeing if there's any compaction, and it might only be a few inches down, but it's something that maybe needs a bit of a consideration with a sword lifter or a spike or something like that, just to get a bit more air into the soil.
I think it's also worth thinking about what fertilizers you are thinking about putting onto your grass wards and when's the best time to apply them as well. There's no point putting them on too early.
Yeah, and the other side of it is, I don't know down in your office, but we occasionally get soil samples in that have low pHs, and more often than not, these are from grass fields and they're just going to wait to be ploughed up. And you actually think, you know, they can be 5.2, 5.3, even worse on the odd occasion. And you're thinking that that's been impacting on that grass crop for a number of years, obviously. And the fertilizer's maybe been thrown on, and that's affecting the utilization of that fertilizer. So that's not as being as effective. And it can be worth soil sampling these grass fields as well to get their pHs to the proper level. So you're getting the best out of your fertilizer, and you're also helping, you know, encourage the likes of clover and such like to get established as well.
It's definitely worthwhile getting the soil sampled. I've noticed last year, because there's a funding available under Preparing for Sustainable Farming, we've managed to encourage a lot of the grassland farmers to actually go out and soil sampling. And some probably have never sampled, some probably did it 10, 15, 20 years ago. And it is amazing how many fields with low pHs there are. And I think it's probably more problem, important yeah. to put the lime on than the fertilizer at the moment and just start raising those pHs to give the crop the best chance possible.
I think the soil sampling and certainly in our area, the in terms of arable land, the cropping land, generally most people are pretty good at getting that sampled, but the grass fields have been basically just neglected because they've just thought there's not a need, we don't need to. Just concentrate, when we plough it up, then we'll sample it. But actually, it's costing you money when you don't do it, or you're not getting the good of your fertilizer when your pHs start dropping.
Also, if you're ploughing it up, you would have rather put the lime on a year before you do go and plough it up, so it's had time to have an impact on it as well.
Certainly, if your pH is way down at the lower levels, you're not going to be loading on more than a 2.5 tons an acre in one go anyway. So it's better doing it over time to let it work its way through the profile.
So just mentioning Preparing for Sustainable Farming, that is running again for this year. So there is funding available for carbon audits, for soil sampling and analysis, and for animal health and welfare interventions. So I think it's something worth thinking about if you haven't done your soils yet. It's really a good idea this year to try and do your soils, as the funding is available this year.
Definitely. It's there. Use it. The funding's there, basically. And it's a great chance just to get bits of the farm, work your way around the farm, and just find out what you've got and if there is a problem, what you need to do. The animal health and welfare one might have been a wee bit slow in taking off, but there seemed to be a bit of interest in the end, and it looks a good option. It gives folk a chance to do a wee bit of testing, whether it's worms and liver fluke and such like, or lameness, bull fertility, all things that are important, and it's worth just, you know, having that conversation with the vet and doing that wee investigation.
You might as well take advantage of the funding whilst it's here, because we know it's going to be here this year, but we don't know if there's going to be any funding for this type of thing after 2024. So it's definitely worth taking advantage of.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rural Roundup. This episode was hosted by myself, Kerry Hammond, featured speakers George Chalmers and Tiffany Stevenson, and was edited by Cameron Waugh. Coming up in the next Rural Roundup, we have a 4-episode mini-series dropping into our feed on the 14th of March. This 4-episode mini-series is called Trees of the Gaelic World, and each episode features agricultural consultant Jeanette Sutherland exploring the lore and language of each of 4 species of tree with Gaelic scholar Dr. Michael Newton. Dr. Michael Newton was awarded a PhD in Celtic Studies from the University of Edinburgh. The episodes also include advice from the Woodland Trust on the best conditions for each species and how to manage or establish them on our land in the current day. The episodes are Birch with Viv Halcrow, Yew with Iona Hyde, Oak with Alistair Firth, and Scots Pine with Alan Crawford. Subscribe to this channel to get notified when they're released and indulge yourself in a podcast binge.
The Farm Advisory Service Podcast. Audio advice on livestock, crops and soils, environment, rural business, and more. Brought to you in association with the Scottish Government.